Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "So the Lord himself goes before you and will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." This promise helps me to remember that no matter what challenges I face, God is always with me, guiding me through my steps and comforting my fears. It is incredible to know that I don't walk alone. Jesus is ahead of me, making a way even when I don't see it. His faithfulness has brought peace to my heart and courage my soul. I am so grateful to be able to trust in him completely, and I give all the glory to him for the path he's leading me on. I look forward to continuing my journey by my side.
All right, good evening, FBC. My name's Allie Anderson, and I've been coming to this church since I was 3 years old. I've been in this youth since I was in sixth grade. Some things I'm thankful for is my friends and my family. They've both significantly impacted my walk with Christ, and they've all helped me just become a better follower of Christ. My parents have pushed me to come to the church even when I don't feel good or just when I don't want to. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to a ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Most of my friends, if not all, are coming to this church or churches away. They all are like family to me, and they all stick close to me even when I'm sad or upset, and even when sometimes I have the slightest attitude with them. Thank you for all listening tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. We love you, and God bless everyone.
Hey, my name is Jeb Bradley, and I'm a junior. I've been a part of this youth group since sixth grade, and I just want to come here and say that I'm very thankful for my parents, and I'm also most thankful for this youth group and the opportunities it has given me, because without it, I would not have gotten to go on mission trips and see the true need for people to be evangelized. It has given me a great friend group that I can always rely on, and these friends that I've made from this youth group have been phenomenal in growing my faith and putting God above all else. I know because of this group of friends, I will have them, and God especially, no matter what adversity I may face. James 1:19-20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." I like to think of this verse before I speak. Just before saying things, so I do everything with God's will in mind. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jenna Heron, and I'm a senior. I'm going to read Hebrews 10:19. Says, "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation." I am so thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful that through the Holy Spirit, we are able to enjoy true fellowship with one another, no matter the differences we may face. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is William Bates. I'm a senior. I've been a part of this youth group for about 10 months. I was thinking about a verse that I'm thankful for, and this verse just came to my mind. Romans 2:13, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." This is a verse that I try and remind myself of daily, because it's easy for us to just listen to God's word or read God's word, and it just kind of go in one ear and out the other. And this is just a verse that's just really, I really am thankful for, because it just reminds me to just, really act upon what I'm learning in this youth group, at church, or in my alone time with God, anytime, just to really act upon it and obey the law and his word with my life. And it's just a verse that I'm very thankful for.
Hey y'all, my name is Molly Kate, and today I would like to share with y'all what I consider to be my life verse. It's Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship." I love this verse because it continues to remind me my purpose and why I'm here. God put me on this earth for a reason, and my life is not my own anymore. My true purpose is to honor and glorify God in everything that I do. As my daddy says, how we do one thing is how we do everything. During this year, God has opened my heart and my eyes and called me into ministry, to disciple anyone I am around and to be an encouragement to others. I am so incredibly thankful for Philip, Evie, and my D group. They have filled my cup in ways I didn't know were possible. It's not enough to just know the Bible. They have helped me to truly understand and apply God's word to my life. I am thankful for my church family that prioritizes student ministry. How blessed are we that we have all these people that care so much about all of us. There is no way that I would be where I am today without them.
Hey, y'all. My name's Griffin, and I'm in 10th grade here in the youth ministry. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This verse tells us that when we are not faithful, God always is. I'm so thankful for this truth in my life because it encouraged me every day that God is with me. He's always walking beside me and keeping me close to him. Even when I struggle and fail, this verse gives me the confidence and the truth that God is by my side through every high and every low.
Good evening. My name is Cadence Hill, and I'm in 8th grade. The things I am grateful for are my family, who brings me to church. I'm thankful that I have the ability to come to church and learn about God. I'm grateful for my Christ-centered relationships with my family and close friends. They always bring out the best in me and remind me to always think about what Jesus would do in a situation. Ephesians 4:32 states, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This verse is my favorite because it has really helped me become the person that I am and continues to help me grow in my walk with Christ. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Blaine McQuaig, and I've been going to this church about maybe 3-4 years. Started coming here in 6th grade. The first time I came was actually during Thanksgiving, and this night is just, like, means a lot to see everybody here. And the verse I chose was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, and plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And plans to give you hope in the future. And that's just a reminder to me that when we go through, like, tough seasons and everyone has different struggles. I struggle with things. You struggle with things. When things are hard, it's not the end of the road. Like, there's a future for you. And just trust God and he will bring you through that.
Hello, I'm Daisy Thigpen, and I'm thankful for God's true love. In Lamentations 3:32, it says, though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. I'm so grateful that the creator of this world has allowed me to experience his love and compassion no matter what I do.
Man, I know y'all are probably all clapped out, but could y'all give it up for those students one more time? That is that's a big deal, especially for, you know, some of them that are a little bit more shy and introverted. I know I'm very shy and introverted. I know that's hard to believe, but that's a big deal. And it's really cool to see what the Lord is doing. And that one of the reasons we wanted to do that is because I want you to not only hear from your child or your students, from what they're learning and how the Lord is encouraging them, but I also, and this might be a little new, but I also wanted to kind of be before you for the next 10 minutes. So give me 10 minutes. I know you're probably like, man, I'm ready to eat and go home. But give me 10 minutes, and there's something in me that as I've been praying about this event, as I've been thinking through this event, there is something in me that the Lord has directed to the specific scripture that we're going to be looking at tonight. And I would just ask for, like, literally 10 minutes just of your attention. And I hope to kind of encourage you, but also challenge you in this season of giving thanks, in this season of Thanksgiving. what it looks like when our life is rooted in thanks for Christ and in thanks to Christ. And so if you have your Bible or your phone, which all you have your phones, if you could flip to Luke chapter 7, we're going to be in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to begin with. When I read this passage, you're going to be like, what in the world? But once again, I believe I am no prophet like you would see in the Old Testament. I am not a prophet, but I do believe that the Lord has very very strongly urged me with this word for you. And so Luke 7, verse 36, it says, then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him, right? So this is Jesus and a Pharisee. He says, then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Verse 37, and a woman in the town who was a sinner. I love that Luke just says, like, this woman in the town who's a sinner. She's a sinner. This woman in the town who's a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with the perfume. So you have this scene right here where literally Jesus is invited to eat with this Pharisee, this religious, self-righteous guy. And as he's going to eat with the Pharisee and he reclines at the table, this woman who Luke notes, once again, I just find it so interesting that Luke is going, this sinner woman, she knows that Jesus is there. And what she does is she brings her alabaster jar of perfume and she brings her, you know, her anointing oil, her precious things. And what she begins to do is she's behind, there's this picture, right, where Jesus is probably sitting down and she's standing behind Jesus just weeping. She's just brokenhearted, weeping, and it says that she begins to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with the perfume. And so you kind of have this, if I'm being completely honest, you kind of have this disgusting scene. Because Jesus and them, they weren't rolling around in Range Rovers. They had their little sandals that were, you know, yay thick. And they were walking through the desert, like we know this about the Middle East. And so you have this scene where Jesus, who's been traveling all over the place with his dirty feet, comes to this Pharisee's house, and you have this woman who with her tears, with her face, with her mouth is kissing, with her hair wiping his feet, and she's standing there weeping. And then it says, verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner. Jesus replied to him, and this is Jesus is going to reply to him, and he's going to give us a cool story because Jesus, being the master teacher of all generations, is going to kind of hit it home with this little story he's about to tell us. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. Jesus goes, look, a creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? And then it says, verse 43, Simon answered, I suppose the one he forgave more. Jesus says, you have judged correctly. Verse 44, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she with her tears has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much, but the one who is forgiven little loves little. And so you have this scene, like I've kind of painted, where it's Jesus, the Pharisee, and the woman. And I'm going to be honest, when we come to a season such as this, such as Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc., it is so easy for us to take one of these things, and I'm going to use this as a joke, but this thankful, you know, thankful, grateful, blessed, hashtag, here's my coffee, hashtag with family. It's so easy for us to let those words come out of our mouth. That, hey, I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for my family. When in reality, sometimes you and I can get caught up in this scene just like the Pharisee right here, who's pointing at the woman going, she's a sinner. Because what does the woman do? Out of her love, out of her thankfulness for Jesus, this woman is standing behind Jesus weeping. Like, let that soak in for a second. When is the last time that you came to Jesus' feet, right, in humble surrender and said, hey, I'm done playing the games. Jesus, I'm broken. I'm a broken human being in need of your forgiveness. Because that's what we see with this woman. Like, me and my wife had this conversation as I was kind of thinking through this passage. I said, why is the woman weeping? Like, she just comes to Jesus and she's just weeping. And I think it's twofold. This woman understood who she was. This woman is saying, yes, everybody's labeled me a sinner. I'm a sinner. My sin breaks me. And then on the other side, she's saying, no, but look at Jesus. Look at this awesome forgiveness that this Messiah, this rabbi, offers. I've heard him doing these miracles. I've heard him teaching the multitudes, and he teaches with authority. He's not like another scribe. He teaches with authority from heaven. This Jesus guy, there's really, truly forgiveness in him. And so the reason I bring up this passage is because you and I, like I said, in a season such as this, is Thanksgiving. You and I can be caught up in this self-righteous, Jesus owes me this thing, so I'm thankful. When in regard, you and in contrast, you and I have to know who we are. Like, yes, when you come to Jesus, you know, the cute little thing, your identity changes from sinner to saint. Like, yes. But until you actually humbly surrender in front of Jesus and lay down at his feet and weep and mourn over your sin that separates you from a holy God, you are not going to thank him. You're not going to love him. I mean, that's what Jesus says. He says, look, but the one who has been forgiven little loves little. When you and I think we're this self-righteous person that is owed, you know, you and I are owed this great life, our thankfulness is just going to be words. It's just going to be words. It's just going to be a picture we post. But in reality, when you and I humble ourselves before a holy God, and like Paul says, because when we admit that we're weak, he can be strong. When we humble ourselves before a holy God and say, God, I'm broken and I'm in need of you, not just once, not just, hey, I did this one time, but hey, an everyday mindset of, God, I am broken. It's in my brokenness that I need you. Then we're going to be truly thankful for Jesus. Because the reality is that we're not just here to be thankful for each other and friends and family. Like, we gather for Thanksgiving because we're thankful for what he has given us. Because according to the Bible, every good thing comes from above, from the Father. And so until you and I get this right, until you and I are really thankful for this and broken over our sin, and I love this because I get to wrestle with this. Like, this is something I'm thinking of. God, would you break my heart over my sin? God, when I mess up, would you cause me to weep so that I can be humble before you and appreciate you as my Father that gives good gifts? And until you and I are good with God, until we humble ourselves before God, we're not going to be thankful for what he's given us. And so my challenge and my encouragement to you, at some point tonight, at some point, you know, whenever, find time to get before the Lord. Like, find time to get before the Lord and honestly kind of evaluate your thankfulness to him. Whether it's really genuine. Whether there's something that's really, really going on. Because when we do that and we understand, hey, I'm a sinner and I'm broken and I'm in need of a Savior, just the other stuff is not going to, it's not going to fall in place. And so I want to pray over you. And if you're feeling heavy, it's not because I'm beating you down. It's the Holy Spirit's conviction. Find time to spend time with the Lord. Find time to get right before the Heavenly Father who gives every good gift. And so I want to pray over you. I want to pray that you'll get to experience that you'll find time to do that. And then I want us to hang out. I want us to eat. I want us to mingle. Once again, we're so thankful that you came to hang out with us. I want to get to meet you. I want to get to talk to you. If there's anything that we can do as a church for you to love on you, just let us know. So let me pray over you, and then we'll be good. Lord, Lord, would you just help us to, Lord, would you just change us? Lord, honestly, would you just break us of our sin, of our religious ritual, of our tradition, Lord, and would you supernaturally change everything in us, Lord, break us over our sin and give us a thankfulness and a love for you like no other, Lord, that the world can't match because that's only something you can do. So, Lord, I love you, and I'm thankful for you. Lord, would you continue to break me over my sin and humble me, Lord, so that I can constantly rely on you, so that I can constantly boast in my weakness and not my strength. So, Lord, I pray that over these people. Lord, I pray that you would humble them, Lord, but encourage them. Would they find joy and peace in you and what only you can offer? Lord, and would you just give us a little glimpse of heaven? Do what only you can do in our life, Lord. We love you, and we gather, Lord. We gather to proclaim you. We gather to look at you. So we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.